Several hundred years ago, I forgot to look up the exact queen of England it was, but there was an inauguration of a queen in England. The old queen had passed away, and there was a new queen arising and ascending her throne, walking down a great stretch of all types of gifts that were lavished all around about her. All of the great leaders of the world were at this inauguration of the queen as she was going, seeing treasures of unparalleled account, tremendous wealth. And there was a little boy wearing tattered clothes, dirty face, disheveled hair, and he interrupted the procession by stepping out in front of the queen, and he had a Bible in his hand, and he said, "This is the greatest treasure the world can afford. This is the greatest treasure the earth can afford," as he gave it to the queen, a Bible.
Amen.
The greatest treasure that we have. There's a lot of ideas, there's a lot of things projected in this generation, but the greatest power that we have is that which was employed by the Son of God himself, which was the Word of God animated by his Spirit. You'll hear us talk about the Word of God. We talk about the Bible all the time. We talk about studying the Bible. We talk about preaching the Bible. We talk about the fact that the Bible is the order for everything, every aspect of our personal lives, that the Bible is our rule of faith and conduct. But why do we talk about the Bible? The Bible which we all have. If you don't have one, I'll buy you one. But we all have a Bible. We should have a Bible. Something that is the most neglected thing that we have within Christendom. Why do we talk about the Bible? We put so much emphasis on the Bible. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible, you say, oh man, that's going to be boring. That's death. We don't want to read our Bibles. It's of little significance. Do you realize that the Bible has stood on its own over thousands of years of archaeological and textual criticism?
Yeah.
That if there could be just one person that could debunk or disprove this Bible and say, listen, everybody, there is no heaven, there is no hell, they would have done it thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
All of the liberal media, all of the people that are anti-Christ, they would love to publish the fact that the Bible is not true. But let me tell you here this morning, this Bible is true, praise God.
Yeah.
You can live on it. Thank God you can die on it, praise God. The Bible, the Scripture, the Word of God. There's a powerful scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture has been God-breathed in the Greek. It has been breathed by God. It comes from God. All Scripture. Not just from Matthew to Revelation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We live in the dispensation of grace. We are New Testament saints. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible has been breathed by God.
Amen.
God moved on the writers to write the Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Talking about the things of the Old Testament. All of the way God worked and operated and moved in situations as recorded in the Old Testament, it says they were written for our examples.
Yeah.
You say, how's God going to deal with this situation? Read your Bible.
Yeah.
God does not overlook sin. God does not just put it away. Listen, the same way God dealt with sin, God still deals with sin. It says in that same chapter, in verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for our examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. All these things. What things? The times when they were all under the cloud, when they all got baptized, when they all went to the Red Sea, then they all murmured and complained in the wilderness. Their hearts lusted after other things. And then they ended up getting banished from the promised land. All those things are for our examples. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. This book is our authority right here.
Yeah.
This is our authority. If I can't show you in the Bible, it's profitless. It's all about the Word of God. Paul the Apostle told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the Word, praise God. Hallelujah. And let me tell you that this pulpit is going to be pure. This pulpit, we're going to preach the Word, praise God.
Amen.
I'm not here to preach to you my ideas. I'm not here to preach to you my ambitions. I'm not here to preach to you opinion. I'm here to preach to you the Word of God.
Amen.
Preach the Word. Be ready when it's popular, when it's not popular, in season, out of season,
yeah.
When they like it, when they don't like it, when the crowds cheer, when the crowds jeer, preach the Word, praise God. And the Greek tenor of that passage, it's like Paul the Apostle with stark military command, like a 4-star general telling, boy, you preach the Word.
Yeah.
Praise God. And we're going to preach that Bible. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears.
Wow.
And they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables.
Wow.
That day is not coming. We're living in it now. Where the Word of God does not have free course, but an abundant life church of God. It's about this book, praise God.
Amen.
It's not about the newest fad that comes down the Christian pike. It's not about people saying God is doing a new thing and it's unscriptural. Preach the Word. Be ready in season. Be ready out of season. Praise God.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 2. It says very plainly about the Word of God. It says in verse 20. Rather, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Isn't that powerful? It's not of any private interpretation. God will reveal it to you just like He'll reveal it to me, praise God. It says in the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 27, it says that the anointing of the Holy Ghost abides in you. The Holy Ghost. You need not that any man teach you. If you're ignorant of the Scripture, it's your own fault. Can I just say that this morning?
Yeah.
If you're biblically ignorant, that's your fault. I know many people tell me, you know what, Pastor, I just don't understand the Bible. And? What's that supposed to mean? You know, when I first got saved, someone gave me a Living Bible translation. I read it from cover to cover twice. Then I went to someone gave me a New International Version. I read that through 4 times cover to cover. Then someone gave me a King James Version, and I've been reading it ever since. I remember sitting in Bible studies, and my brother would be talking about the things of God. He was all fired up with Christ, and I'd be sitting there yawning. I didn't know Genesis from Revelation. I didn't know about millennial reigns. I didn't know about judgments. I didn't know about anything. But you know what? I was going to the church because I had just merely gotten converted to Christianity from Catholicism. I just got converted from one religion to another religion, but I never got born again. I wasn't saved because I started going to the Christian church. Every time I go to McDonald's, it doesn't make me a Big Mac. Just you come to church doesn't make you a Christian. And I was going to church, and I would look at people over there clapping and all this stuff, and I'd be sitting in the back of the church, just come out of a crazy lifestyle, and I'd be in the back of the church. I'd be looking, I'd say, is this it? Serious? And I remember I got my Bible. I had neglected it, and I went and grabbed my Bible out of the trunk of one of my muscle cars. Because I went to church, I got bored with it. I grabbed that Bible. I went outside on a cold January night underneath a full moon, and there was snow everywhere. And I grabbed my Bible, and I said, God, if you're real, show me. If all you are is what's taking place in that church, I got to take my Bible and throw it in the garbage. And it was that night that Pastor Eric Archuleta passed from death unto life, praise God.
Amen.
And I'm telling you this morning, if you get real with God, He'll reveal Himself to you. Amen. And you'll be changed forever.
Yes.
Praise God. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Beware of people when they say, God gave me a revelation, and only I can interpret it.
Huh.
We're not following Joseph Smith, that got a golden tablets from Moroni and had to interpret it with super duper spectacles that only he had.
Uh-huh.
Listen, we follow a Bible that is open to each and every one of us, praise God. It is truth, and you need not that any man teach you, but the Holy Ghost will teach you all things, praise God.
Yes.
Jesus Christ said plainly in the book of John chapter 14, he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when he comes, he will bring all things to your remembrance, that which I have spoken unto you, and he will teach you all things. God established the fivefold ministry, so beware of people that say, I don't need preachers, I don't need evangelists, I don't need apostles. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that you do not need someone to teach you all the time. You get on your face before God, and God will teach you, praise God. But yet it says very plainly that God established the fivefold ministry for the edification of the body. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy in verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, praise God. You know what? The prophet Isaiah, the prophet Jeremiah, these great men of God didn't say one day, you know what? I'm going to establish a new religion. I'm going to write a bunch of things that it didn't come by the will of man. But it came as holy men, number one, were moved by the Holy Ghost. And when you look up that in the Greek picture, it's actually gives you a picture of a sailboat in a sea that's calm, and the winds move, blowing on it, moving it. That's what the Bible's saying, that these men were inspired of the Holy Ghost. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that old argument where they say, you know what, the Bible was written by man. You know what, next time you sign your name, I'm going to say, you didn't write your name, the pencil did. Right? That's all it is. Man were used in the hand of God. They were inspired. It covers a course of thousands of years by a lot of different authors, and it does not contradict itself.
Yeah.
You know that old thing they used to do? They tell someone in their ear something, a secret over there, and by the time we get over here, it's all twisted. Have you seen how that happens? Gossip and people talk and interject and build it up and all this. But you know what? The Bible stands by its own way. I don't need to hold it up. No man holds it up. It stands by its own way. It is the Word of God, inspired of the Holy Ghost. The little boy said, this is the greatest treasure earth affords, ma'am. The Bible, the Word of God, the Scripture, the truths that are in the Word of God, that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The Bible teaches us. The Bible instructs us. You want to get to know God? Read your Bible.
Yeah.
I know some people that all they do is pray. They pray and they pray and they pray and they pray and they don't read their Bible. And guess what? All of a sudden they have these weird revelations that are unscriptural. The devil encroaches as an angel of light, comes in with deception. They say, God told me to do something and it's unscriptural. God never contradicts his word ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody comes to you with the word, they're telling you something that's not in the Bible, you could tell them, ma'am or sir, you're speaking from your own heart. God never sent you. Or if you don't, you could just say thank you and walk away. Right? Sometimes you do it easy, but sometimes, you know. But God never, ever contradicts his word. Any teaching, I don't care how big the church is, I don't care how many bunted of millions they have, I don't care how popular the preacher is, if they say anything that's unbiblical, it is error, and you are to reject it outright. God never, ever contradicts his word. He never contradicts himself. Any teaching that demands arbitrary action by God contrary to his word is error.
Yeah.
It says in the book of Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, it says, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. They have no revelation. This book is the doctrinal yardstick. Every teaching that you ever hear, everything that comes in book, Christian bookstores, it doesn't matter. You measure it by this book.
Amen.
The church of the Bereans in Acts 17, Paul and them were preaching in Berea. And all of a sudden it said that the Bereans were noble people and they searched the scriptures daily whether the things Paul was saying was true. If you believe any preacher because he has a nice suit and a necktie, you got problems, friend. Can I just be blunt this morning?
Yeah.
The church doesn't need to be politically correct, right? Forget that, right? We're not politically correct. If you believe anything any preacher says just because they say it, you have major problems. If you believe me, what I preach is because I preach it, you got problems, friend. You have to know this Bible. While everybody's focusing on weapons of mass destruction, the church is being destroyed by weapons of mass delusion through the media, error, lopsided gospels that overemphasize a certain aspect of God. Well, they forget everything else. That's not the way it's supposed to be. This Bible is replete as it pertains to God. If you want to know God, read your Bible. If all you do is pray and you don't read it, the devil's going to encroach. I know other people, all they do is study this Bible, and they don't pray. Guess what? They know the word of God and totally miss the God of the word.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
This Bible is so simple a child can understand it. Yet it's so profound that theologians drown in it.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, the depth and the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath instructed him? Yet we have the word of God, and God gives us illumination by his spirit, praise God. Any doctrine. The disciples told Jesus in Matthew 24, Lord, what's going to be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And you know what he said? Take heed. No man deceive you. That prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a global deception in the guise and garments of Christianity. I'm not talking about Jehovah's Witness. I'm not talking about Muslims. I'm not talking about Mormons. I'm talking about under the garb of Christianity. And unfortunately, many bite it hook, line, and sinker. Because they don't study their Bible, they don't read the Word of God, they don't embrace the Word of God. The Word of God is replete. And it will teach you, it will instruct you. It's given by inspiration of God. You want God to speak to you? Read His Bible. Read the Word of God. The more scripture you have in you, the more avenue the Holy Spirit has to guide you. When you're praying and you're in need, God will send the scripture to you. Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees in the book of John chapter 8, because they put their dependence upon the law of Moses, and yet they totally missed Christ himself. Isn't that amazing? It's actually John 6 and verse 39. He said, search your scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, he said. See? Listen, this Bible is just paper. The book itself is just paper. But yet in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive, praise God. But guess what? It testifies of Christ. The Bible projects Christ after the resurrection in the book of Luke, the last chapter. That these men on the road to Emmaus, they were lost. They were had missed the way, and Jesus Christ showed up. And it says he began to show them in Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets the things that were written concerning himself. The Bible projects Jesus Christ as we read our Bible. But he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. They testify of Christ, the living Savior. He said in verse 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. We can never, we have to always focus on Jesus Christ. He's alive. You can walk with him. You can fellowship with him. It's not that you can, it's that we should. That is where we find our strength. That's where we get to know God. That's where we get to understand God. It's from the scripture itself. The word of God has given us everything that we need that pertains to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing in the Gospels you don't have a single description of Jesus Christ in a physical capacity? I know we have a billion pictures. The Chinese have their interpretation. Everybody has their own interpretation of the Christ. But isn't it amazing how the Bible is saying not one word about his physical appearance? Because he's not, that's not how he is. But in Revelation chapter 1, we have a powerful picture. His eyes are a flaming fire. Out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. His hair is white as wool. His face shining as the sun in its strength. That's the Jesus we serve. It's all emblematic and it teaches us and shows us different facets of his character. But that's the resurrected Christ. Amen. As we study the Bible, as we embrace the word of God, we get to know God. As we pray and fellowship with him, mixed with the word of God, you start to grow, you start to understand. All of a sudden, God starts giving you wisdom. He starts giving you discernment. He starts giving you everything that you need. Because you need to understand that the devil not only comes as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but that he masquerades as an angel of light, and that he appears as ministers of righteousness. And we have to be discerning and to understand that which is happening in our generation. You say, Pastor, I would love to have discernment. How do I get discernment? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, and verse 12, is the writer says, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles or the utterances or the words of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, he's making a contrast here. He's illustrating spiritual truths by the natural. Babies need milk. They don't have teeth. They can't eat steak. Yeah. But he says this, in verse 13, for everyone that uses milk in Christianity in the house of God is unskillful in the word of righteousness. People that need milk, they are unpracticed in the word of righteousness. Milk, bottles, no battles, just bottles. Milk. But yet it says very plainly, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Verse 14. But strong meat or strong food belongs to them that are of full age or mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Praise God. But those who by reason of use... Listen, you want to be a good fighter, you better practice. Someone's about to knock you out. You want to be good at basketball? You better practice. You want to be good at drums? You better practice. You want to be good at anything? You want to be a prayer warrior? Step up.
Amen.
You want to know the word of God? You want to be able to preach it? You want God to speak to you? Study. Exercise. But strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, praise God.
Yeah.
Someone could come and tell you something. You know what? God gave me a word for you, and you could tell it there in the flesh immediately because you know God. You know His word. You know His voice. You know what? I want to get big muscles. You know what? You've got to work out. You got to grab a dumbbell and start lifting. Start doing push-ups. Start working out. You want discernment? Use the Bible, praise God.
Amen.
I know I can say without fear of contradiction, if you don't have a Bible, we'd be happy to get you one.
Yeah.
Right, guys?
Yeah.
Who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, staying in the Word of God, embracing the Word of God. You see, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 16, there was a woman following Paul and Silas, saying, "These be the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation." And she was speaking truth. But she had a foul spirit, and Paul turned around and rebuked it in the name of Jesus and commanded it out of her. But he discerned it, see? As we know the Word of God, we understand the Word of God, you'll be able to discern, you'll be able to know what's true, you'll know what's error, and you'll understand it immediately. God will show you. You say, but Pastor, we're not supposed to take anything that God says. We're supposed to take it. We're not supposed to contradict it. Baloney. It says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world." I don't care who they are, I don't care what they say, you have biblical right to test it by the Word of God. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit is not going to get all offended. He's calling you to test it, to try it, to search the Scriptures, praise God.
Yeah.
You need to understand that God is never going to just send someone to speak anything to you that's just out of the pale gray sky. I'm not going to walk up to Israel and say, "You know what, Israel? God told me that you're supposed to go to New Zealand to be a missionary." He's going to look at me and say, "What?" God will never send anybody to say anything to you. The only time God sends somebody to you is, number one, when you're asking Him to confirm something in your life. You're like, "God, what should do I go here, God? Do I go there?" And you're praying and you're fighting and you're talking to Him in private and you're confused. And God will send someone, and someone will just come out and say, and it'll confirm what God's speaking to your heart. Or number two, if you're blinded in your sin, if you're blind and you can't see anymore, God will send a man of God or someone and say, "Look," and they'll cry out to you. But why is God going to tell you something about my life when I talk to Him for hours every day? That's what I want to know. Right?
Yeah.
If you talk to God, He'll talk to you. "My sheep hear my voice."
Yeah.
Does God send people? Absolutely. Is there gifts? Definitely. But you better test it. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. "Believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world." There are two places the enemy's going to fight you. He's going to fight you at the Scripture. He's going to fight you at prayer. He ain't worried about much of anything else. Because that is your source, that is your power. When you study the Word of God and you read it, you say, "I don't understand it." Listen, read it and read it and reread it and read it, and all of a sudden it's going to start coming together. I remember the first days when God started giving me revelation. I didn't know the Bible, but I read it and I just kept reading it and reading it, and all of a sudden I just started to understand and discern His voice. And I started to understand and it started to come together. I remember I was praying underneath some trees in Pennsylvania while everybody else was doing their thing. I was underneath some trees crying out to God, and I was saying, "God, I want to know You. God, I want to be a man of God." And I remember in my spirit, I remember very plainly I heard the God speak to me, but it came through the Scripture, but it was alive and vivified in my spirit. That Scripture that Jesus told blind Bartimaeus when He said, "What is it that You will have me do for You?" And I said, God, that I might receive my sight from the scripture. God, teach me your word. And from then on, God began to open the Bible to me as I sought God with all of my heart. God is willing to pour out more than you're able to contain. We have the Bible. We have the Holy Ghost. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, just to be alone with Jesus. That is where I find my chiefest joy is with Jesus, to be alone with Him. Praise God. You get to the place where you no longer say amen. In other words, you don't stop praying. You understand that prayer goes way beyond terminology. That's why He's given us the gift of tongues too, that we can pray and utter and pray mysteries. But do you realize it goes way beyond terminology? Do you realize when you're going about your day, you can just shoot an arrow of devotion to heaven and say, God, I love you. You don't have to say, God, I come to the name of Jesus. God, I love you. Amen. And then go. Just say, God, I love you. God, I don't understand this confusion. God, I don't understand this situation. But God, I choose to magnify you.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, I praise you. There's times I wake up in the middle of the night just because I'm going to turn on my side or whatever, I'm sleeping. But when I do, I say, God, I need you. God, I need you, God. You know, there's not a day I don't wake up and say, God, I need you today. I know what Pastor Eric, I know what Eric Archuleta can do for himself, and it's destruction. I don't trust in myself, but I trust in God. As you pray and as you seek Him, it doesn't have to be a bunch of terminology. There's times when we get in the trenches and we stand in intercession, we supplicate, we pray, and we seek God. But there's times where you just walk in fellowship with Him. I love my wife with all of my heart, but you know what? I'm not blabbing in her ear all day. She'd probably backhand me after a while, right? It's not about that, friends. It's about just loving God. Say, God, I just talk to Him about everything. Talk to God. But the Word of God is powerful. And you need to test every spirit, whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Take heed that no man deceive you. And it's powerful because in Psalm 19, it says very plainly, by King David, a man that actually had a lot of things in the natural sense, a man that was on the pinnacle of the social scale, a man that was after God's heart, that loved God. In Psalm 19, he said this in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect or complete, converting the soul. The word of God, it transforms your soul, praise God. It changes your soul. It's not talking about born-again experience. It's talking about you. As you stay in the Word of God, it changes you. It takes you further and deeper. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In the Hebrew, it's saying it's a solid rock, praise God. You can build on it. You can stand on it. The Word of God is sure, making wise the simple. You lack wisdom? Let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally without rebuke. You want wisdom? Study the Word of God. This Bible will make you smarter than anybody you've ever encountered in your life.
Yes.
When I was working the secular realm, people would just come about their situation. I'd just quote a proverb to them. They'd be like, wow, that's powerful. They thought I was the smartest guy in the world. No, I do is quoting the Bible. Making wise the simple. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoicing the heart. You feel downcast? Know that they're right, that they're true, and it'll bring joy internally beyond that which the world can give you. It says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You ever have someone come to you and they have their words are smooth as butter, but wars in their hearts? You know what? God's word is pure. There is no hidden agenda. It's pure. It's very pure. Praise God. And it says, enlightening the eyes. It brings light into your situation. It brings wisdom to your mind. It enlightens you. Praise God. It illuminates you, the Word of God. Isn't that amazing that we all have one?
Yeah.
I don't have something special. The Bible. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. That's talking about a wholesome reverence and a wholesome respect for God is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold or refined gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Isn't that powerful that a man that had all the riches of Israel in that day, these kings were mighty kings, David. They had silver, they had gold, they had prestige, they had power. Everybody liked them. They scaled the heights of the social scale. But let a man that had everything tell you that the Bible, the Word of God, is better than gold, than much fine gold.
You understand that back in that day, they had the sweetest thing that they had was honey. We have sugar, we have saccharin, we have all these different sweeteners. Although the Bible does mention sugar cane in the book of Isaiah, but you need to understand that it says very plainly that it is sweeter than honey.
Yeah.
Than the honey from the comb, praise God.
Wow. Amen. Thanks, brother. It's sweet, praise God. The Word of God is sweet. Have you tasted the Word of God? How sweet the Word of God is.
Yep.
It is sweet, praise God. It is the sweetest thing they had was honey. The Word of God is sweeter, praise God. As it's alive, as we read and we study the Word of God, it's sweet to you, praise God. It says the book of Psalms 119. I want to read a few passages. Don't worry, I know it's a long psalm. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you, praise God. The more words you have in you, the more it keeps you from sinning against Christ. It safeguards you. The Holy Spirit has avenue to convict you. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I could show the world how many scriptures I can quote. No, that I might not sin against you. When you're in love with God, the last thing you want to do is sin against Him.
Yeah.
If I was in a room and someone was cursing my wife, it's going to be some major problems, friends. But it amazes me how we could sit there and watch people curse the name of the Lord. It amazes me how we could just watch all this abomination and filth of people blaspheming the name of Jesus, and it don't even mess with them. They're not even bothered. But I'll leave that alone. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Before you get on the phone and call sister so and brother so and so, and why don't you go to the Bible and get on your knees with an open mouth and say, God, I don't know what to do. God, speak to me. God, I need wisdom. God, I acknowledge you. Thy word is my counselors. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Praise God. It says very plainly in verse 89. Let's see. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Praise God. Do you realize that God's word's already settled, it's already established, it's already done? And when God says something, it's done. When God says something, it's going to happen. His word forever is settled in heaven. That's why we need to understand the scripture. That's why we need to understand it. Before I forget, you need to understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word of God Himself, used the Word of God against the enemy. The devil says, it is written that he shall give his angels charge over you, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone, Jesus, cast yourself down. You know what Jesus said? It's also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's why it's important to know the Bible, because just because the Bible says in one place that Judas went and hung himself, and then in another place says, go and do thou likewise, doesn't mean you should be hanging yourself, right? That's why we need to know the Bible. We need to know it in entirety. We need to know it cover to cover. Because the devil doesn't come to you with a pitchfork in his hand and a lie in his mouth. He comes to you with the Bible under his arm and a scripture on his tongue.
Wow.
And it's extremely sad when we go battle the devil and our quiver is empty. And we don't have no scripture to shoot back at the enemy. Because we don't know the Bible. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, O Lord. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Why is this so dry? Because we're not seeking God with all of our heart and letting the Holy Spirit illuminate it. But when you get alone with Him, and all of a sudden it turns into love letters from heaven, and it's sweeter than honey. Yeah. Verse 28, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Where do we get discernment? Staying in this Bible. The more you know the Word of God, the more you know the heart and mind of God, the more you can discern error. What makes a true and false test so hard? It's because 90% of it's true and there's one word that negates it. But when you know the Bible, you can discern. Verse 130, the entrance of thy words gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. When you're in the midst of your situations and all of a sudden the entrance of God's words brings light and understanding in the midst of confusion, the Word of God, it gives understanding to the simple. Some of the smartest people you'll ever meet are those that know God. It's not about having all these degrees. Listen, a lot of people I know of teachers that have degrees that you would not believe, and they're drier than last year's bird's nest. But you know what? Let me tell you, the degrees that you need and I need and that we seek are multiple degrees of exposure to the living God.
Yes.
How close are you, praise God? How close are to you to Him, praise God? It says, the entrance of your words gives light and it gives understanding to the simple, praise God. Verse 140, thy word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it, praise God. Very pure, the word of God. It says in verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endure forever. God's word is true. The Bible says that it is impossible for God to lie. Do you understand that? I thank God it's impossible for Him to lie. God is not a liar. God does not lie. His word is true from the beginning. It is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loves it. Praise God. Every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Verse 162, I rejoice at your word as one that finds great spoil. When you come to the Bible alone with God, it's like finding a treasure, praise God. He says, I come to it like one that finds great spoil. The word of God, the law of God, the scripture, the Bible, praise God. Where there's many religions that they try to dissuade you from reading the Bible, I'm here telling you, read it with all of your heart. Job said in Job 23 and verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Uh-huh. Praise God. I need the word of God more than that which is necessary to life, because the word of God is necessary. It's vital that we know the word of God. And it says powerfully in the book of Jeremiah, says, if I could find it here, Jeremiah said very plainly, thy words were found in Jeremiah 15 verse 16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Praise God. It brings great joy. It brings great vitality. It brings life. All from just simply reading the Word of God. The Bible. Why do preachers say study and pray? Fast and study and pray. Study the Bible. Read your Bible and pray. That's why. When you're alone and you're having hard times and you read the Bible, God will help you. God will speak to you where every man's words fall to the ground and they let you down. God will not let you down. Amen. But there's a scripture, there's a remedy for every one of the ills that we experience in this life. You're discouraged, there's words that will encourage you. You're having hard times. Listen, there's scriptures for everything. The Word of God. The Word of God is something that we all have. It's something that we have. Let's embrace it with all of our hearts. Let's be a Bible-believing church.
Yeah.
Let's have people in the house of God that are not spiritual dwarves, but they're giants in Christ. That people know and see the evidence of growth in your life in a spiritual capacity. Because everybody's getting alone with God and seeking Him with all of your heart. Listen, when you come and you seek God with all of your heart, you're not coming to church to be revived. You're coming alive in God.
Amen.
Come hell or high waters, come dead people that are half asleep, it's irrelevant. I'm alive in God, praise God. Hallelujah. I don't pray and seek God that I could find out what to preach to you. I seek God and pray because I love when I'm in love with the King, praise God.
Yeah.
I want to be with God. I desire to be with God. If you come to me and say, you know what, Pastor, you need to read your Bible and you need to pray, you know what I'm gonna say? It's thank you. It's like you coming up to me and giving me a slice of New York cheesecake. Be like, oh, thank you so much. You're telling me that I have to pray? Oh, hallelujah, thank you, praise God. Praise God, hallelujah. In the midst of busy schedules, you seek God. Get along with Him. And let me say that, this something this morning to encourage you, because I worked 70 hours a week my whole life. I know what it is to work hard. I still work hard. I don't have a day off. Because the devil doesn't take a day off. But let me tell you something that's going to help you this morning as it pertains to time. This morning we're talking about tithing money. But let me tell you something about tithing your time and giving of your time to God.
Amen.
Some people don't have a lot of time. They've been pumping concrete all day, right? And you come in dealing with personalities. And you're dealing with traffic. And you're dealing with all this stuff. And you come home and you sit down and you're tired and you're burnt out. But like the widow a long time ago, she cast in of her penury, of her poverty, she cast in just a mite.
Come on.
But Jesus beheld that. She said, she has given more than they all, because she has given of her lack while these give of their abundance. 5 minutes of pointed prayer is worth a lot in the sight of God. If you say, you know what, I'm going to, God, I just worship you. I praise you. God, you just seek God with your heart. God will meet you there and you'll be blessed mightily. Spiritual things. The Bible, the Word of God, the Scripture, that which God has given us. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts.
Hallelujah.
The Word of God animated, the Word of God alive. Praise God. When I seek God to give me something to preach, you know what God does? He gives me something from His Word. God speaks through His Word. It comes from His Word. It's all about the Word of God. It is complete, pertaining to everything. To church function, to church administration, to our families, to our homes, to our work, to our play, to everything. The Bible is complete, praise God.
Amen.
The greatest treasure we ever have is the Word of God, alive and animated by the Holy Ghost. And the God desires to speak to you. And it's powerful because Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We could say we love Jesus till the wallpaper falls off the wall.
Yeah.
But if we're living contrary to the Word of God, He says, if you love me, obey me.
Yeah.
But how are we going to obey Him when we don't know the Bible? Yeah. Ignorance is not bliss. In the context of the end, Daniel chapter 11, and then there's Daniel chapter 12, which is the last chapter. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32 says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do. Exploits is not in the original text. We think we're going to do some great and mighty thing. No, it says you're going to do something. That which God has ordained that you do. And that's talking about the context of persecution, global persecution. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do something of eternal consequence.
Yeah.
As we seek God with all of our heart, we embrace the Word of God. We embrace the God of the Word. We seek God with all of our hearts. The Bible.
Yes.
The Bible, right here.
Yeah.
You want to be a man of God? Read your Bible. Paul told Timothy, give attendance to reading. When David Wilkerson used to ordain pastors, he said, you must stay in the Word of God. You must be diligent in the Word of God. If you're not diligent in the Word of God, find another career. Give attendance to reading. That's talking about leaders, but it's talking about us as the children of God.
Yeah.
To know God, to know the Word of God. Aren't you glad that this is a Bible preaching church?
Yeah.
And it is a Bible preaching church. I look forward to witnessing your growth in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. I look forward to seeing you growing. I look forward to seeing you vivified. And all of a sudden this church is alive in God. Praise God.
Amen.
We're not looking for revival because we're alive. We're revived. We're vivifying. Praise God.
Amen.
That God's people come here and they say, wow, God's there. God's there. Praise God. God is there. But you know where it all begins? It begins on your knees at home. This afternoon, tomorrow, Tuesday, seeking God. The devil comes. One of his greatest efforts is to deceive. You know what deception is? It's believing you're right and you're wrong. It says in the Proverbs, the parable of the sower, the seed in the soil, that he comes on the heels of the word to snatch it out. Because he knows the word of God has power. This word right here.
Yeah.
Search everything and test it, what I tell you. Test it. I have no problem with you coming and say, you know what, Pastor, that's not in the Bible. And let me show you things. Let me show you the scripture. And those of you that know your Bible, you know that that's exactly what I'm talking about, is this right here. In fact, I'm quoting scriptures to you a lot of times and you probably don't even realize it. Because I believe the Word of God has power, praise God. It says in Mark chapter 2 and verse 2, it says that the multitudes were gathered unto Jesus and he preached the word unto them. That's what Jesus used. Am I better than our Savior that I need to bring in all type of entertainment for the lack of the movement and operation of the Holy Ghost in our church?
No.
There's going to be joy and power in this house.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
You got to jump in the trenches with me, praise God?
Yeah.
Praise God. Listen, now we're coming from a context of eternal mindsets. And God's doing great and mighty things, praise God. In my life, God's doing great and mighty things in the realm of the Spirit in this church. You say, I don't see nothing. God's moving in this church right now. Let's stand this morning.